can see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Tuesday, June 16, 2026 edition, Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual in this time slot every Tuesday, Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Man, you don't know how hard it is for me to stop saying downtown Gaylord. Dude, it's like I start saying it, Iron Pig Smokehouse over in, and I bite my tongue every time. It's like in Gaylord. Just say Gaylord, dude. Don't say downtown. That is officially a done deal. You have sold the old location downtown?
We have. We've entered into a management agreement, and essentially what that does is just allows them to take over control, and then there's a caveat in there. As soon as they sign a new lease with the landlord there downtown, it changes over into a purchase agreement. So it's just part of the process with a liquor license that we have to go through. But the deal is done. New owners are in the building. It took over on Friday. They're actually closed today, doing a little bit of reorganizing, redoing some of the menu and stuff. So I'm super excited to see what they're going to do with Prohibition there downtown.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And any legal updates to report about the bourbon situation?
Well, you know, this is a tough one because anything I say could potentially be used against me
as a licensee. So we're gonna take the Fifth Amendment, right?
No. I want. It's very important, actually, because as a highly regulated industry, which the spirits and alcohol industry is, I hold a license. It's not easy to get, but the government and these agencies, they feel like highly regulated industries and people that hold these licenses shouldn't necessarily get a Fourth Amendment, a Fifth Amendment, like individuals get. And this is part of the problem, is the Liquor Commission came in two Wednesdays ago, confiscated a bunch of my bourbon, demanded that I answer a bunch of questions, gave me less than a week to provide them with contracts, shipping manifestos, all of this information to complete their quote-unquote investigation. Well, I'm not inclined to give them any information to incriminate myself. Now, I've talked about it before briefly, but there's another restaurant in Michigan that challenged this idea that the Liquor Commission can just come in and spot inspect. Ultimately, a federal court ruling came down saying that the Liquor Commission and the state police can't use this particular rule to spot inspect. They essentially now have to give you notice, which in layman's terms is basically a warrant, right? So what they did was a warrantless search and seizure, based on this federal court ruling involving the Michigan Liquor Control Commission and a business, a restaurant in Michigan. Of course, it's not codified into law yet, but it also begs the question, well, now if there's a court ruling saying that me as a licensee, I get my Fourth Amendment, why do I not also get a Fifth Amendment? So I'm not so inclined to give them all this information. But there's one more thing that's really, really troubling that we discovered, and I don't know if we have enough time in this segment to get to it. But Randy, they lied. They changed the words from the rule on the piece of paper, the form that they gave me. They changed the language to make it look like I must comply with this as a licensee. If you look up the rule actually pertains to an applicant for a license, and they straight up changed the words.
Ah, we're going to get into all that. This is interesting. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll get into more of this situation with Ian Murphy at the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord. We'll be right back.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put $4,747 in your pocket every year. And seniors deserve a better deal on property taxes. This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor. And I approve this message so that we can finally bring quality and efficiency to state government.
Perry's on a mission, he's here to stay. Perry Johnson's rising, gonna take a stand. The family's in.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely, she was the queen of my night.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Staying through the break, Ian Murphy over at Darren Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord. Man, you piqued my curiosity, dude. This paper, and you showed it to me the day that they came and took away, confiscated your bourbon, basically violated your rights. But let's get into that paper and what it actually says. And you looked up the statute. You actually looked up the Michigan compiled law, and it's worded a little bit different than the way they gave it to you?
Well, first of all, that piece of paper, right, cites this rule at the bottom, and it says under MLCC rule 436.1101 subsection 2, I think it is, it says on the piece of paper, it says a licensee shall comply and hand over all paperwork requested by an investigator or the commission or officers of the commission to complete their investigation. Now, when I got that and I read that, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I start looking over everything that they're asking for, contracts with our bourbon company in Kentucky, shipping manifestos, all of this stuff, bank records, everything for both locations now, right? The one I showed you was just from our South End location. They came in, coordinated the exact same time, three agents on one property, two agents and a state police officer at our new place. So I look at this and I don't even question the rule, Randy. I didn't even question it. So media like, oh man, what the heck? So of course I get a hold of our attorney, and I reached out to some specialty attorneys as well, the folks that handled the Generis v. Donnelly case, which is the bar out of Saginaw, Retro Rocks Cafe, Retro Rocks Pub, I believe is the name of it. Anyways, I didn't even look the statute up. I assumed, Randy, that the statute, the rule that they cited, is as it says on the paper. Well, you know, our brilliant attorney, Dave Delaney, he has a better mind than I do and directly goes to look at the statute. And he calls me back and he's like, you're not going to believe this. And he sends me the statute and he highlights it. And the entire section is about an applicant for a license. It has nothing to do with a licensee. I'm a licensed. I'm not applying for anything, Randy. I've been a licensed liquor retailer.
Yeah,
for the last 9 years.
Nine years.
Absolutely. So I'm not an applicant for anything. So Delaney shows me the actual language, and it says an applicant for a license must comply with all requests for information from an investigator or the commission's employees to complete an application for a license. They straight up changed the entire statute. Now, the reason some of your listeners might be questioning, why would they do that? Why do they need to do that? Why do they have to be so shady? Well, it's because of this Generis v. Donnelly case that went out to the federal courts and said, Michigan Liquor Control Commission, you don't have a right to strip them of their Fourth Amendment. And in fact, you should be going out of your way to uphold their Fifth Amendment. So, Randy, they couldn't use the same rule that they used to use to be able to come in and spot investigate. That's what this state trooper did in the Generis v. Donnelly case. Federal courts ultimately found that that wasn't justifiable for using that rule, and that rule should not be in play because it violates the licensee's Fourth Amendment. Highly regulated industry or not, doesn't matter. So that's the precedent that we're working with, and why the Liquor Commission also laughed and scoffed at me when I asked them how they were here and what rule they were using, and specifically mentioned the Generis v. Donnelly case. While they were on my property, they laughed at me. They laughed at me. These are people I pay. These are people you pay
sure.
to be government regulators. And all they're doing is harassing small business owners. This is not the first time they've changed the language on one of these notice of deficiencies. This is now common practice for these people.
You mean they've done this before as you've been dealing with them over the years?
From what I can tell, they also have done this in the Generis v. Donnelly case. I'm looking for other cases right now that specifically have challenged them changing the nomenclature in these rules. That's an egregious thing for them to do on my part. You don't get to just unilaterally change your own rules. That is BS.
What I have immediately that pops into my head. Do you guys have a basis to sue the Michigan Liquor Control Commission for some type of misconduct or a violation of, you know, changing laws arbitrarily on their own? And who was it that authorized the changing of that wording?
Well, those are great questions. Now, we're super new into this process as far as being required. We have a deadline. Tomorrow is our deadline for our downtown batch of information. Now, they also lied when this investigator, Kenneth Pelland, handed me this piece of paper demanding all this information with the changed rule. He said if you need – it was 7 days, including the day they were there. So basically 6 days for me to compile all of this information, which is just ridiculous on its face. He says to me in front of witnesses, if you need an extension on this time frame, just reach out to this number right here. And, of course, it was his number. I did that 2 days prior to the first deadline. They lollygagged and played ignorant and let that time frame expire purposefully. After I requested, he said I could request an extension to the deadline. I request 2 days before, a day after he confirms there will be no extension, original deadline stay in place. So now that's two times that they've lied to me. This entire thing is a complete farce. They came in, illegally searched, illegally seized, intimidated my employees, lied to me, the licensee, then gave me an official Michigan Liquor Control Commission document that has a straight up lie on it as well, changing the verbiage. Your question, what remedies do we have? I don't know yet, because I've got to get through this deadline of us essentially not giving them any information, because I'm not obligated to. I'm not an applicant. The real question is, yes, how do we hold them accountable for an illegal search and seizure, changing the verbiage on a notice of deficiency, which is an official government document, twice to two different licenses for the same licensee? Who's held accountable? Is it the commissioner? Is it Kenneth Pelland, the investigator? Is it the governor who appointed the commissioner? Like, this is so ridiculous. Not to mention, they now have reached out to Bardstown, our distiller down in Kentucky, and demanded that they turn over information. So I'm now trying to get information from our partner in Kentucky, who has basically rolled right over and said, well, we're going to give them all the information that they're requesting. So right now, Randy, I'm trying to get the document that forced Bardstown to hand over information, because they're potentially handing over information that could incriminate me. I don't want that. Do you see the level of power that these people have and the way that they're manipulating it? This is crazy, man. And by the way, it's worth mentioning, it's not 1940 in Michigan anymore. The entire reason a control state exists is because of organized crime and cartels. And I'm going to say it on the radio, like I've been telling everybody else, the real cartel is the Michigan Liquor Control Commission. The organized crime are the ones that are getting away with it. Nearly $1 million worth of missing liquor inventory by an independent audit from the Liquor Commission. Why would I want them to handle my spirit to begin with? Even if I could get it into Michigan, which I can't, which is an entire another issue, you can't get a brand new spirit out of state into Michigan right now because they only have three distributors. Oh, and wouldn't you also know the Liquor Commission that wouldn't approve more distributors? Just approved the sale of RNDC, Republican National Distribution Company, that got fined $2 million just 3 years ago. But they're allowed to sell their entire portfolio to a company from Maine. I'm telling you, Randy, this might be the most corrupt government agency in the entirety of Michigan, hands down, in my opinion.
Got a text message from police officer Rick Nieper. He's listening to us today while he's on road patrol down in Genesee County. He said, can you ask Ian if he remembers this part of the original application for his very first liquor license. You, as a licensee applicant, consent to a search anytime during business hours. When you have that license, you are subject to a search. It has an exception to the search warrant rules. It's called an administrative search. Do you remember that being part of the application, and is in fact that this true
is,
statement?
This is Janaris v. Donley. They don't get to do that anymore. The only time they now can come in, and again, it's not codified into law into Michigan yet. Senator Hoytenga was supposed to introduce in the Senate a package that would basically codify this into law, but that is exactly the problem, and that's what. And Officer Naper, I appreciate you texting, but this is the crux of the problem. A Michigan State Police trooper went in to this restaurant in Saginaw after he pulled over an employee, demanded to see this employee's timesheets. The manager said, no, you don't get to see that information without a warrant. That police officer then eventually obtained a warrant, but the restaurant was successful in denying the state police officers qualified immunity, denying the liquor commissioners qualified immunity, Donley. That's why it's Janaris v. Donley. So they removed the qualified immunity for both of these government officials because they violated his Fourth Amendment right. That's what this case is all about. So I don't give a hullabaloo about what I signed when I originally got my license. As it stands, there is precedent in Michigan right now. The only time, I hope you're listening, trooper, the only time you are allowed to go in and spot investigate is for a, quote, routine investigation. And a routine investigation is to look at your liquor license properly displayed, your age poster, TAM certification, that entire list that I talked about that this investigator was in on May 12th and saw no illegal spirits, that is a routine inspection. Anything beyond, they are going to need a search warrant. Now, I'm sure the trooper is going to disagree with me on that, and I understand. Again, it's not codified into law, but right. This is all part of it. Why do you think they had to change the language on the rule, Randy? Because they now know they cannot rely on the statute that the gentleman, the trooper, is talking about.
Got it. Excellent, excellent. Well, this is exactly why, folks, you need to go over to the Iron Pick Smokehouse on Old 27 across from Otsego Lake, have their wonderful breakfast brunches that they have on the weekends, go there for breakfast during the week. Have dinner there. If you got family members coming up north that are spending, you know, the weekend with you, treat them to a dinner over at the Iron Pig, because we need the business to pay the attorneys, to fight the state, to fight, it seems like, Ian, almost everybody on the planet. It's why we need to support you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that's, you know, quite frankly, the only reason the Iron Pig is still around is because, you know, when we bucked the trend back in 2020, 2021, man, did you guys come out in droves to support us. So I am eternally grateful for you, Trucker Randy, your listeners, everybody that came out and support us. Go to ironpigsmoke.com if you need any information.
Excellent, excellent. And reserve the pavilion for family reunion, wedding, whatever. It's all on the website, ironpigsmoke.com. Thanks, Ian. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, brother.
You got it. Thank you.